Today's episode of The Unmistakable Creative is brought to you by Sells. That's SELZ.com. With Sells, you can add your products and sell from any site in minutes without any complicated setup or hassle. They handle the payments when a customer buys and send you the money while providing your customer with a completely seamless experience.
In spite of all our communication technology, no invention is as effective as the sound of the human voice. When we hear the human voice, we instinctively want to listen in the hopes of understanding it, even when the speaker is searching for the right words to say. That's because the human voice resonates differently from everything else in the world. Is the Unmistakable Creative Podcast. Listen in on candid conversations with creative entrepreneurs and insanely interesting people.
All right, everybody, this is Srini. Welcome to another episode of the Unmistakable Creative Backstage. I'm here with my co-host, Greg Hartle. Greg, what's going on?
Not much. Ready to roll. I've got my glasses on, my warm tea, and my moleskin, and it's overcast outside here in Seattle. This is like, you know, a hipster's dream.
Well, considering what you're going to talk, what we're going to talk about today, it's very interesting that you're very low tech.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, irony, of course, you know, those of you guys listening don't know this, but we recorded this once and you'll see why this is so hilarious that we had to record it a second time. But we got a lot of interesting listener feedback from last week's conversation on whether, you know, you're meant to become a master of your craft or a Renaissance person. So we're going to get right into the feedback because it ties in perfectly to what we want to talk about today. Zach writes in and says, in the debate of master of your craft versus Renaissance person, there's an interesting perspective that comes from seeing your craft as an intersection of multiple skills. And he cites, you know, Scott Adams as an example of that. And Scott Adams was one of our former guests here on the Unmistakable Creative. And for those of you who don't know who Scott Adams is, he's the guy who created the Dilbert comic strip. But I mean, what do you think about that, Greg?
Well, I think that, I think the conversation has to be framed a certain way. And I'm not sure we did a good job of that last week or if we did or not. I'm not sure. But what I mean by that is that the idea of becoming a Renaissance person or mastering your craft is an idea built around you have to make a living, to survive and to thrive. You have to find a way to make a living. You have to find a way to make money. And so if we frame it from that perspective, I would argue the side that Scott Adams actually has mastered his craft. And while he's used other things to come together, ultimately he gets paid because he's a remarkable cartoonist. Mm-hmm. That's why he gets paid. And so, you know, for somebody like that, that's to me a perfect example of somebody who has mastered their craft. He's not dabbling in 19 different things, getting paid by 19 different things. He's getting paid really well to do one thing and to do that one thing exceptionally well.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, right? Because if you hear him describe it, that's not exactly how he describes it. I mean, if you go back and listen to our interview with him, his argument is, I'm pretty average at a bunch of things, but combined together, they make me really good at this one thing.
Yeah, but that's the same thing. I mean, it doesn't matter if you combine them together. He's still a cartoonist, you know, and mm-hmm. he's still drawing every single day. He draws every single day. He produces a cartoon and he gets paid well to do that thing. He doesn't do 19 different things and gets paid, you know, average on each of those things to make a living. He's doing that one thing. At least that's the way I view it from my perspective.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I don't know that there's one right answer to this. This is a good one. I mean, you opened up a can of worms. Dixie writes in and says, Greg, you have a really small opinion about the human spirit if you think we are all, except apparently Greg Hartle, capable of being excellent at only one thing. Tell it to Da Vinci, Benjamin Franklin, or Maya Angelou. And then she says, you know, you might want to rethink your comments about the man who lost his job after 30 years, you know, especially the idea of seeing the writing on the wall. Of course, my favorite part, Srini, thanks for trying to keep Greg honest in this one.
who said that?
That was Dixie.
Dixie. Okay. So first of all, thanks, Dixie. Seriously. Thank you for writing in. Thank you for sharing your opinion, because if we haven't expressed this, or if I haven't expressed this, I want to make this explicitly clear that the whole idea of this backstage episode is for us to share our thoughts. By no means are our thoughts, you know, fact per se or necessarily accurate. They're just simply our thoughts based on what we know, what we learn, you know, our opinions about different things. So the whole point of us opening this up, you know, at the Unmistakable Creative .com/contact and to allow you guys to write in is to share your thoughts. So that's fantastic that you're willing to step up and do that and to challenge my thinking. That helps me become a better person. Hopefully it helps you become a better person, and it helps all the listeners become better people. So that's, first of all, that's awesome. Second of all, I actually think we're on the same page here, because the examples that you cite are exactly what I was talking about, at least I was hoping to convey, which was, if you are very talented or highly talented, and or you are highly intelligent, you are capable of being a Renaissance person and making a living at doing so. And mm-hmm. so I cited the examples, for instance, of Pharrell Williams. You're citing examples of people like Da Vinci. In my opinion, they were born with that gift, and because of that, they are able to be a Renaissance person. Now, in my opinion also, not everyone is born with that type of gift. Mm-hmm. And so for those of us who aren't, we are better able to make a living by mastering a specific craft than we are using our talent to dabble in several different areas. And that was the point I was attempting to convey, that if you want to make a living, in my opinion, that if you are not highly, highly intelligent and or highly, highly talented, you are more likely to make a great living if you master a craft, if you master a specific skill and become excellent at that skill and stick to that. And as far as the example that I gave of the individual who lost their job after 30 years, I was suggesting that the reason he even had that job for 30 years is because he mastered the craft. Had he dabbled in a bunch of different things, he probably would have been average or slightly above average at his job and probably would have lost that job years earlier. Mm-hmm. But because he was so great at that one job, he kept that job for absolutely as long as he could. And also, in my opinion, he should have seen that coming in some respects, in that we're moving into a world in which technology is replacing those types of jobs. He worked in a bakery, for example, and for a high, you know, for a well-known corporate company bakery, and a machine replaced a lot of his functionality, a lot of his job. And so that's why he lost his job ultimately. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, you can see those things coming in a lot of ways. For instance, Amazon just released their PR video about the drones delivering packages. And in if I worked at UPS or I worked at FedEx, I would see the writing on the wall that within the next 10 years, the likelihood that I'm going to be delivering packages every single day for 8 hours a day, the way I'm doing it now, is pretty slim. So I better start thinking about an alternative now and not wait until I lose my job 10 years from now and then say, what am I going to do? And that was the point I was attempting to convey.
Well, I think you've done a good job. I have a feeling Dixie's going to write us back based on that.
Yeah, I hope so. That's awesome.
You know, one other comment that came in, which is actually a rather interesting one, was around the idea of education. And Renee wrote in talking about, you know, a site, 10ktalents.com. And her whole approach is, you know, starting with their kids at the age of 12 and helping them reach this sort of idea of mastering a craft and putting in the 10,000 hours, because at age 12, you can definitely do that. And, you know, this is one that's been very interesting for me as somebody who comes from a fairly educated family. I mean, my dad's a college professor, and you know, I have a lot of debates with him about the structure of higher education and the question of whether it's actually preparing people. I do think there is something to be said for setting up kids at a very young age for mastery, and I don't think in its current form our education system is accomplishing that.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I should touch this topic because I don't have kids and I don't know much about the education system. So I'm not going to, but I will say from what I've read in a lot of respects, that's a good idea. Then I wonder, though, are we going to become like China, where, you know, we see a kid that has a talent to be a gymnast and we lock them in a room for the next 10 years at the age of 5 so that they can win the Olympic gold medal? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we don't want to, I'm not sure we want to go that far, but I have definitely read a lot of research on the idea that the sooner we can start children down that path, the better, likely.
Yeah, that whole idea of locking a kid in a room, I mean, nurturing talent is actually a really interesting thing. I mean, can we take it too far? I've never even thought about it that way, but yeah, like
just look at sports and you can see in America that we take it too far.
Oh yeah. I mean, I go to, you know, at my local surf break, there are kids there who surf better than I'll ever surf in my entire life, and they're usually out with their parents. And part of me wonders, like, how much different it is that I'm there just to enjoy myself and these kids are there gearing up to actually compete.
Yeah, it's you know, and again, I'm not sure I am even remotely qualified to have that conversation.
Well, we won't touch it then, but I think that, you know, Jay's comment, Jay wrote in, he said, I think, you know, the thing people should consider is that your next competition is not a person anymore, but a machine. This is the one competitor you're not going to beat. That really, I think, makes a perfect setup for what we want to talk about today. And now you guys get the irony that we tried to record this using a machine and something went wrong. and we're doing this again. But I think that, you know, it's so funny that you brought up the Amazon drone commercial, because that's exactly what I was thinking of. I thought, you know, like, I don't know about you. That example in particular is really interesting to me, because, you know, there's packages that show up at my house every day. And I kind of wonder, it's like, I don't really have a relationship with my UPS guy. I just want my package.
Yeah, you know, I think that, I mean, there's a lot to unpack there, which is, number one, there's no doubt that machines are replacing a lot of human jobs. And there's no doubt that that direction is only going to continue. If you can't create the machine, you better know how to control the machine on some level. I mean, even as business owners, as online entrepreneurs, you have to be able to control the machine, mm-hmm. on some level. So, you know, there's no doubt that that's the direction that we're headed. That's the direction we have been headed in and we'll continue to head in. So the question becomes, how are you bringing your unique abilities? How are you bringing your creativity to the table? And I thought Justine Musk in the foreword of your book pointed it out very well, where she talked about, not only is creativity important just to express yourself, it's actually an advantage in today's business world. Mm-hmm. And that's a perfect example. And that's the whole thing that we're always talking about, where, you know, you can no longer fit in, you have to stand out. Because it used to be, if you just fit in, if you were just one in the cog in the machine, you know, the bigger structure machine, where you just did your job every day and you did exactly as you were supposed to do it every single day, well, you'd get your paycheck every single Friday and everything would be great. That, you know, that world where you just fit in is no longer, you know, gonna work for most people. Where now, today's world, you have to stand out. Mm-hmm. And that comes from critical thinking and from creativity more than anything else. And so we have to figure out how to work alongside these machines. We have to figure out how to manipulate these machines to our advantage. And or we have to go totally the opposite direction, maybe, where there are a lot of people that are longing for the days when we didn't have all these machines controlling everything that we're doing. And so if you can create experiences that help those people kind of go back into the days where the machine isn't controlling everything, then you can also find a lot of advantages there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, whether or not you have a good relationship with the person that delivers your packages or not, I think there's something to be said for the bigger conversation, which is maybe you want to, mm-hmm. you know, maybe there's a lot of people that want to have a good relationship with the person that delivers their packages. And maybe we want to get back to those days where we know our neighbor, and back to those days where we, you know, we know people, that are delivering the products and goods that we're buying, et cetera. So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot to unpack in that conversation.
Yeah. I mean, it's the question of, are we basically moving from a human made world into a machine made world? And that's a very interesting sort of complicated debate. You know, I always think, you know, when I read Tyler Cowen's book, Average is Over, he says thousands of people, like tens of thousands, are in these self-driving cars that we've seen in the videos that Google is talking about. Like, they go to work every day in those cars. And then on the flip side of that, somebody like Danny Shapiro, who we had here as a guest recently, talks to me about sort of the nostalgia for this time of artisans and how she's finding these, you know, she talked about an area somewhere in the East Coast where you've got these people who are highly educated, And they're going and they're working on things like becoming the best artisanal butcher because there is a nostalgia for it, like you talk about.
Well, you know, and that's where I kind of wonder if the middle doesn't exist, yeah. Or if you're caught in the middle, that's the worst place to be, you know, and that's, you know, in America, that's kind of the destruction of the middle class is kind of working that way. But this is a different type of middle, the middle between, you know, do you want to be on the cutting edge of technology or do you want to go the opposite direction and create human experiences for mm-hmm. people? And both can exist, obviously, and both do exist. And, you know, you have your Ubers of the world, you have your Facebooks of the world, and then you have your things like you're talking about, or a lot of the people that listen to our show or that have been guests on our show, like say AJ and Melissa Leon, where they're creating, you know, small batch products that are handmade by local artisans, you mm-hmm. know, and that world can succeed because there's a lot of people that are longing for that. But combining both of those worlds or being caught in the middle, I should say, between both, trying to straddle both of those worlds, at least in terms of your products or your services or your business, I don't know. I'm not sure that we have a really good place for that right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, the middle ground is interesting. I mean, you and I were sitting outside of TGI Fridays a few weeks ago when you were down here in Southern California. And I remember you telling me, you said, you know, that people are in many restaurants are actually getting rid of waiters. And I thought, well, that kind of actually, you know, they have an iPad at the table. It's like, yeah, I guess you don't need somebody to take your order. You just need somebody to bring the food.
Yeah, so that's the debate, right? So the question is do you want to be as efficient as you can possibly be? And so you don't need a human to take an order. Why not just have a machine take an order and then somebody can deliver it and eventually a robot will deliver it and not even somebody? Or do you want to create the exact opposite experience where you highly value that human interaction and human connection? And so instead of being the most efficient, you're the best human experience. And mm-hmm. and so you can go one direction or the other, and in both seem to be succeeding in today's world. And I don't know that it's a competition between the two. I actually think there's going to be a place for both, you know. But if you are somebody that is working in that world or trying to build a business in that world, you do kind of have to choose. You have to choose which direction you're going to go, and you have to choose which elements you're going to bring to the table as far as the human touch, you know, the high touch or the high tech or a combination.
Yeah, that's actually a really sort of interesting debate. I mean, I don't know that there's one, but I think in all honesty, either way you look at it, I think that being unmistakable, whichever way you decide to go, matters. I mean, even the artisanal yep. butcher, if they're not awesome at what they do, I don't want somebody serving me meat that's been, you know, not prepared properly. I don't know about you.
Well, and the funny thing about that is that goes back to our previous conversation in a lot of ways with last week, which mm-hmm. is you have to be remarkable at it. You cannot just dabble. You can, you know, you have in today's world, you, because the barrier entry is so low and because there's so many options for people to participate that otherwise in the past didn't participate, you have to be remarkable at it, whatever it is. You can no longer be average or even above average. You have to be remarkable. And in my opinion, unless you're highly talented or highly, highly intelligent, the best way to be remarkable at anything is to put in the time and master that craft.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. Well, you know, this is awesome. First off, you know, this is Greg and I, as we mentioned, this segment really it has been designed for us to interact with you, to hear your feedback, because the interviews aren't the most appropriate place for that. But really, we're loving this feedback. And when you guys write in, it makes it so much easier to produce this segment. You give us so much material to work with. It's much more interactive. It's a lot more fun. It's a lot more interesting. So, you know, write us. Let us know what you think. I mean, are we moving towards a machine-made world? And how is creativity going to impact that, and how do you blend those two together? unmistakablecreative.com/contact.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to what people are saying, and Dixie, feel free to write in and tell me I'm full of crap, and else wants to as well. I love it.
Well, let's do this. Let's do a quick iTunes shout outs for the people who left us reviews, and then we'll wrap the show with that. So couple of people wrote in, thank you so much for these reviews. As we've mentioned, these reviews make a world of difference. They help us find more sponsors. They help us keep bringing you guys awesome guests. Beth Phillips says, always thought-provoking, smart, and inspiring. I appreciate Srini's dedication to interviewing insanely interesting people. And my favorite comment that she said, if your goal for 2014 is to cure your addiction of podcasts, don't start listening to The Unmistakable Creative. Another one, DRoach07. Srini's interviews are awesome. He's genuinely interested in his guests and draws information that will help you in every area of your life. Thank you so much for that. And DoodleBop243. I found the art of being unmistakable and then started listening to the podcasts. I listen on my iPhone while I walk, and it makes the walk go by so quickly and is more enjoyable. Thank you so much for that. And for those of you guys listening, we'll wrap the show with that. As we mentioned, write in, let us know, you know, are we moving towards a machine-made world, and how does our creativity impact all of that? Unmistakablecreative.com/contact. Today's episode of The Unmistakable Creative has been brought to you by Cells. That's SELZ.com. Cells gives you the freedom to sell from any website quickly with no programming, no special templates or special themes needed, while giving your customer a completely seamless experience.
Thanks for listening in on another candid conversation at The Unmistakable Creative. Embrace your inner misfit, express your creative voice, and remember, the goal isn't to live forever, but to create something that will.